This is Dr. Jimmy Nichols, equine nutritionist. On this podcast, we will explore unique cases, debunk popular myths, and break down advanced research data. Join me for a little fun, a lot of science, and some real-world advice for feeding horses.
Welcome to episode 118. It's Dr. Jimmy. I wanted to do this episode for two reasons. First, it's that time of year where foals are hitting the ground and many bags of plasma are being hung for IV administration. And then secondly, a line of horse feeds is now adding a dose of plasma to their formulas. And since there is bound to be a decent amount of buzz around the word plasma right now, I thought it would be just kind of good timing to release a dedicated episode to explain the differences between IV plasma and oral plasma, and then of course dig into some of the research and, you know, see if it even has any value as a functional ingredient in feed or as a supplement. So if you have not already, please go leave me a rating on your podcasting app or go to social media. Facebook has this option where you can leave reviews and recommendations. I would love to see you guys' thoughts. Let me know how I'm doing. Are you enjoying this? That positive feedback really is what keeps me going. So if you're not already following me on social, please go give me a follow. You can find me on either Facebook or on Instagram. You can search at Dr. Jimmy, or you can search Dr. Jimmy Equine Nutritionist. And Jimmy is spelled J-Y-M-E. Okay, let's talk plasma. For those of you who listened to the last episode, it was number 117. It was called Foundational Nutrition. You might recall my discussion about foundational nutrition and how it is different from functional nutrition. Okay, so if you missed it, please go check it out, because what we will be talking about today falls in the functional nutrition category. And I am of the very strong belief that no functional supplement can make up for gaps in foundational nutrition. Okay, so I just want to make sure that everyone is very clear on that difference, right? Foundational nutrition is comprised of, you know, calories, protein, amino acids, fats, vitamins, minerals, water. It takes into account fiber, right? Like making sure that all of that matches the needs of a horse based on that horse's lifestyle and age and desired appearance. Okay, that is all foundational nutrition. And I call this foundational nutrition because this is the rock or the foundation that you stand on when your goal is to have a healthy horse. I mean, no foundation, no horse. It's like building a house, right? I don't care how fancy the cabinets and the countertops are in your kitchen. If your foundation of your house is built on shifting sand and termites are destroying your pillars, right? That fancy kitchen is ultimately just a waste of money, okay? And so supplements are kind of the same, right? So what we're going to talk about today falls under the functional category. Okay, so not foundational, but functional, meaning horses can live quite happily and quite healthfully without functional supplements. However, a functional supplement has the potential to impact specific areas of the body in ways that go beyond your basic nutrition. Okay, so the easiest examples of, you know, foundational nutrition are going to be like joint supplements, right? I use that as an example just because I feel like it's something that, you know, 99.9% of people have either used themselves or used on their horses or at least heard of, right? That's considered functional nutrition. Okay. There's no established requirement for glucosamine or MSM, right? Your horse is not going to die or become malnourished if you skip those things. But we understand that by feeding those functional ingredients, we may be able to optimize the body in specific ways. Maybe feeding those ingredients helps improve the joint capsule, and maybe that helps make achy joints more comfortable, right? That would be an example of functional nutrition. It functions to improve an area within the body, but it is not a nutritional requirement, okay? And what I mean by nutritional requirement is just that it has not been established, right? When I say it, I'm talking still about like glucosamine and MSM, right? Those have not been established by the National Research Council as something that is specifically needed in the diet on a daily basis at a certain level, okay? So this concept of foundational nutrition and functional nutrition is really important for people to understand. I think it's too easy to think that just everything you put into a horse's mouth is, quote, nutritional. And I'm meaning foundational nutrition when I say that, right? Like vitamins, minerals, protein, amino acids, omega fatty acids. But keep in mind that, you know, we can use the mouth and the digestive tract as a route of administration. Okay, so we don't have to inject or IV everything into a horse, right? We can use the mouth as a way to get things into the body. And that's what we're doing with these functional supplements. So yes, the horse eats them, but they're not really considered part of the nutritional aspect of the diet, okay? This is also why you might run into some equine nutritionists who will start just axing or removing a bunch of supplements from the diet when they go to look at someone's program. And this happens if they have kind of like this one-track mind where they're looking only at foundational nutrition, right? They're going to start eliminating anything that's functional in nature because it's going to appear to serve, quote, no value in a nutritional dietary ration. And what they forget is that the purpose of those supplements may be functional in nature and not necessarily intended as a true nutritional or dietary item, okay? So if you're working with a nutritionist, just make sure that they understand the difference between foundational nutrition and functional nutrition, right? They are trained in foundational nutrition. I'll be honest, we don't really get a lot of training on functional nutrition when you go through school. functional nutrition, that knowledge is really something that is self-acquired. You have to go dig into the research. You have to pay for the subscriptions to the journals. You have to just like immerse yourself in reading the science and reading the research. Like I make a point every day. I'm subscribed to multiple journals and they release new articles on a weekly basis. And when those emails come through my inbox, as badly as I want to just like delete them and pretend that they're spam, I open every single one of them and I scan the list. And if there's anything related to nutrition, functional nutrition, like anything, you know, within the body that is remotely related to what I do with horses, I read it, right? Because that's the only way that I can get that knowledge. And so it takes a lot of intentionality. It takes a lot of effort. There's certainly financial expense that's involved in staying up to date and being involved and being a member of different science societies and paying for those journals. And so that's just keep in mind as you're trying to work with nutritionists, not everybody has that functional nutrition mindset. Just understand that there is a difference between foundational nutrition, which is what we learn in school, and functional nutrition, which in my mind really is something that has to be acquired and you have to be hungry for to go get that information. Okay. So if you are working with a nutritionist and they do start axing some of your functional, supplements, talk to them about it and just say, hey, I was using those as a functional supplement. Can you explain why you removed them? And it may very well be that they have found things in that functional supplement that you didn't realize were so nutritional that is influencing other things in the diet. So, you know, this whole concept of nutrition is really honestly pretty complex. There's, you know, I think a lot of people are like, oh, I've been feeding horses my whole life. It's easy. It's just, you just go out and you feed them. But there's just a lot of things that can happen within the body and with those programs that most people don't understand. So that's why I always recommend to work with a nutritionist. Getting a little bit off track here, but I think that, you know, that is an important piece, right? Talking about foundational nutrition versus functional nutrition, that's an important piece to kind of set us up to talk about plasma. When I bring up the term plasma, or when I'm talking to people about plasma and I say that word, it's almost like I can feel elephants in the room. Especially for people who are hearing the words or the concept for the first time or thinking of it for the first time in terms of feeding. So I want to address these quote elephants in the room when it comes to plasma. Or I guess in other words, because I know I have a decent number of international listeners, I don't want this to get lost in the translation. So what I mean is there are three big areas of confusion or question in people's minds when they think of using plasma in the diet. So I want to address those three first. Number one, liquid plasma and dried plasma. They have very different purposes and they cannot be used interchangeably. Okay. That's not a question. That's a statement, right? Liquid plasma is administered intravenously. So you puncture a vein and you drip the plasma directly into the bloodstream. Okay. So the most common use for this is going to be in a foal who did not receive adequate colostrum, within those first several hours after birth. Plasma, the reason that we do this is because plasma contains high levels of antibodies or immunoglobulins. One very specific antibody in plasma that plasma has high concentrations of is called IgG, and it protects against bacterial and viral infections. So that is super critical for newborn foals to have those adequate IgG levels in their body within that first 24 hours after birth, okay? So hanging a bag of plasma is even sometimes done just as a completely precautionary measure for some foals. Like even if their IgG levels are okay, they might go ahead and hang a bag of plasma and IV that foal with plasma anyway, just to be like extra cautious and give that foal the best possible shot at being healthy and vibrant. Now, liquid or IV plasma cannot be substituted for whole plasma or for oral plasma in the foal situation. Okay, let me say that again. You cannot use dried oral plasma in place of IV or liquid plasma. Okay, I want to make sure we are very clear for that. So you should not purchase an oral plasma supplement and give it to your foal. Okay, especially if you're trying to get plasma into that foal in the first 24 hours as a substitute for hanging a bag of liquid plasma. It's not going to work like that. Do not do that. Do not feed oral plasma to a day-old foal, okay? Don't do it. All right. Elephant in the room number two. Feeding plasma to my horse sounds disgusting. The most common concern around this is, plasma comes from animals and horses are herbivores. So how is this okay? Right? And that is a great, great question, right? So the big point of clarity on this is we are not feeding animal parts to the horse or whole blood to the horse, right? Rather, there are specific natural components that have been extracted from the plasma or from any animal or any, kind of product like that. Like take fish oil, for example, right? We're not actually feeding fish to horses. Rather, we're extracting oils from the fish. We're sterilizing and purifying those oils for safety. And then we're feeding those naturally existing molecules back to the horse. So in the case of fish oil, right? It's those omega-3 fatty acids is what we're after. So we're trying to get those out in the purest, most concentrated form so that we can then give that to the horse so that the horse's body can benefit. Okay, so same thing for plasma. We're not feeding meat to a horse. We're not feeding whole blood to horses, right? We are feeding isolated portions which have been sterilized and dried down for safe use in oral form, okay? And if you want to get really technical, it's not actually plasma that's being fed, right? That's just kind of the blanket term that's used most commonly, at least in the Lifeline Plus equine supplement, right? It's really serum, okay? So there are no red blood cells present in that plasma supplement, right? That I get for people who understand what plasma is and what serum is that doesn't make sense, but just go with it for me, please. Okay. So basically that liquid portion of the serum is then dried away. Okay. All the water is gone. And so what you're really left with, what you're really feeding when you're feeding this is peptides, antibodies, antigens, right? This whole list of things that can benefit the body, right? So since an herbivore, like a horse, would never eat a fish or drink the blood of another animal, like that's gross, right? The only way that we can provide them with these awesome benefits is to extract only the beneficial components out of the fish or the animal, sterilize those components, and then offer those back to the horse in its purest form. Okay. So I know that all can be a little bit weird to think about, especially if you're thinking about it like from the 30,000 foot level, but if you break it way down to the molecular level, it makes total sense. or at least to me it does. You know, honestly, another one that falls in that same category is our glorious joint supplements, right? Like, where do you think chondroitin comes from? Chondroitin in most joint supplements is coming from the cartilage of shark or pigs or cattle, okay? In the same realm, it's all about isolating down to those components that you need and sterilizing and purifying them so that you can then offer them to the horse, or let's be honest, even the human body without any negative effect. Okay, that was concern number two. Now, concern number three. What about cross-contamination of other drugs? Okay, this is a very valid concern since most plasma is sourced from cattle or from pigs, okay? Particularly in the United States, certain drugs are used in cattle and swine production that would have adverse effects in a horse, okay? So take ionophores and ractopamine, for example. It would stand to reason that residual levels of those drugs could exist in the plasma. And if so, that could then pose potential issue for toxicity or at very least a hot drug test at a show, okay? It is for this reason that I only support the use of one certain plasma for horses, okay? This plasma is sourced only from the European market. The European market does not allow the use of those aforementioned drugs in their supply chain. So there's no chance of any potential for cross-contamination or drug residues, okay? So as I mentioned in the opener for this episode, there is one supplement that's been added to a full feed line that contains this safe form of plasma. The brand name of that supplement, for those of you who are curious, it is called Lifeline Plus Equine, and it is now built into all of the Intensify feeds that are made by Blue Bonnet Feeds, okay? So there are several feeds within the Intensify line. A lot of times people will refer to those feeds by just like the feed name. So, you know, Omega Force, Senior Therapy, Growth and Development, right? Those are all individual feeds that are within the Intensify family of feeds from Blue Bonnet. All of them, if they are in the black bag and they have Intensify on it along with the rest of the feed name, all of those now contain this European sourced plasma. Okay, so here's the kicker. Blue Bonnet Feeds and Stride Animal Health own the exclusive rights for the United States on this equine safe plasma. So if you are in the United States and you are looking to incorporate oral plasma into your horse's diet, the only one that is guaranteed to be horse safe, show safe, and drug free is this Lifeline Plus Equine, okay? So just to make sure that we're totally clear on the research and efficacy of plasma, from this point forward, I am only going to be talking about the research that was done on the plasma that is used in the Lifeline Equine supplement. So if you're looking at, you know, some other brand of plasma, I can't verify that the effects of whatever you're looking at would be exactly the same as what you would get if you were to feed the plasma that's in the Lifeline Equine supplement. Okay, let's start with mode of action, right? This was probably the most confusing to me when I started looking into plasma or serum and considering it as an oral functional ingredient. In a nutshell, what happens is biologically active proteins in plasma enter the body through the digestive tract, right? Horse eats the supplement or eats the plasma. It swallows, goes into the digestive tract. After it's been eaten by the horse, those biological components, I'm going to call them biologically active proteins, right? That's how I'm going to refer to them. They move to different areas of the body through what we call the GALT or the gut-associated lymphoid tissues, right? And they then can target areas of distress within the body. In other words, these biologically active components have immune modulating effects. And as long as they can move around through the lymphatic system and through the soft tissues of the body, they're able to reach different areas of the body really quite effectively. Research has shown, you know, benefits that go well beyond that gut tissue. Like the gut tissue is where it all starts, but it goes a lot farther than that. In fact, you know, cellular support is, they're showing that it's happening at the gut, the lungs, the uterus, the brain, right? Memory function. I mean, there's some really cool stuff on that. Immune system, and then even stride length and range of motion in horses, which I was really surprised when I saw those studies for the first time. You know, just even this concept of like, how do you even get there to think that that should be something that we should look at with a supplement like this? But I can tell you that the researchers behind, you know, this particular ingredient are just like, they are looking for every possible avenue for how plasma can benefit the body. And so they have looked at it in multiple different species and multiple different parts of the body within the species. So it's really been fun to dig through all of that research. As of May 2023, there are over 600 published studies investigating this plasma as an ingredient, right? So some of my favorites are, of course, in horses. So there's three that I do want to kind of highlight specifically, the results from those, just so that you guys don't have to go dig through the research yourselves. But if you want to, I linked some of the studies in the show notes. So one study was actually an equine ulcer prevention study, and they found that the bioactive serum-based proteins that are in Lifeline can actually prevent the formation of gastric ulcers in horses. And they also found that there appears to be a dose-related effect of these proteins on that prevention of gastric ulceration, right? So this was a situation where more is better, okay? So if you have a horse that is ultra stressed, or, you know, in a really stressful situation, or maybe really prone to developing gastric ulcers, or has a history of gastric ulcers, those are the kind of horses where you'd want to really ramp up the amount of the Lifeline that you're using, or the plasma that you're using. So let's say maybe you're getting it in the feed. That amount alone is probably, that's not enough, right? You'd want to then layer the plasma supplement Lifeline on top of the feed. And if it was my horse, I would go all the way up to that extreme dose so that you hit those high levels of what they found in that study to be effective. The other piece of that study was, just looking at my notes on that study, it said that bioactive serum proteins can indeed decrease the incidence in ulcer formations in horses that are subjected to the stress of training and hauling, right? So these weren't horses that were just sitting in a stall doing nothing. These were horses that were in a training program. They were being hauled. They were being stressed. If I remember right, I think they were 2 or 3 year olds, maybe that had been hauled to a new trainer to be broke. But it was a very stressful situation. I will just put it that way. So the fact that the plasma was able to prevent ulcer formation, or to even reduce the severity of gastric ulcers that did form under such new and intense situations was pretty exciting. The next study that I wanted to bring forward just to make sure that everyone knew about was over pregnant mares and their newborn foals. And those researchers found that when mares were being fed Lifeline or being fed the plasma supplement, they had less weight loss after birth. Their levels of inflammatory markers were much lower, and the levels of inflammatory markers in their foals were also much lower. So kind of take home message on all of that is these mares were less stressed, their babies were less stressed, right? And when we have a body that is less stressed and has less, so TNF-alpha was the marker that was being used to evaluate, you know, the inflammatory markers and inflammation and stress and everything, right? So if you can reduce TNF-alpha, if you can reduce cortisol, you know, all of these stress factors, you're going to have healthier babies. And that is our goal when we're raising babies, is get them on the ground healthy, keep them healthy, right? So plasma or Lifeline is definitely a way that you can do that, but it starts in the mare, okay? So I know we're getting a little bit late in the year, but if anybody still has babies inside of a mare, if they haven't foaled yet, like get those mares going on plasma right now. Like, don't waste another second. It's really, really important. The third study that I wanted to call out was on gait kinematics. Okay. So basically what they looked at was stride length, and they found, so they looked at both front limb and hind limb stride lengths. And they found that when you fed plasma, those stride lengths tended to increase in those horses in both the front and the hind limbs. And then there was kind of a companion follow-up study to that one. And that study showed that the range of motion in the knee improved at a trot when horses had been on that plasma supplement for 4 weeks. Another area that is important for us to consider, you know, is how is the plasma presented to the horse, right? So it's obviously fed orally, but in this particular supplement, like if you're going to go feed this one that I recommend, it's called Lifeline. It is in pelleted form. We always want to make sure that the heat and the compression of pelleting does not denature these functional ingredients in a way that would make them useless, or, you know, like that the gastric acid in the stomach would cause them to be ineffective. Luckily, there was research on this, and it showed that plasma tolerates pelleting temperatures well over 95 degrees Celsius or 200 degrees Fahrenheit. And more importantly, the ingredient maintained its effectiveness within the body. Okay, so this particular study that I was looking at used poultry as the test subject, and all birds on the plasma supplement showed improvements in gain, body weight, feed intake. All of that happened when they were fed plasma. And more importantly, there was no difference among those birds based on the pelleting temperatures and techniques. So, you know, one last thing I do want to bring forward is how much plasma can influence the immune response within the body as well. Yes, we talked about it supporting mares and babies. We talked about it being able to prevent gastric ulcers. I mean, we even think it might be supporting soft tissues in legs, which may lead to improvements in stride length and range of motion, right? But maybe the most exciting for me is how it impacts the gut lining and the immune system. Remember, 70% of the immune system is regulated by the gut, and study after study shows all the ways that oral plasma supports that intestinal immune response, right? It supports that barrier function of the intestinal mucosa, and it helps reduce intestinal inflammation. These are all just like huge flashing lights for me, right? So for so many different conditions that horses face, right? So put this into real world practice. I would recommend horses go on the Lifeline plasma supplement if they have allergies, if they are dealing with EPM, if they have chronic digestive issues like ulcers or loose stool. I would put a horse on Lifeline if they are traveling a lot and being frequently exposed to different horses, or even being put into different stalls at different stops, right, that other horses have been in. If I suspect a horse has leaky gut, I'm going to put them on Lifeline. I'm a huge proponent of Lifeline for pregnant mares, right, in an effort just to have that healthiest baby possible and to help with all of the stress of early life, right? In fact, I did have my own mare on Lifeline Plus. I had her on, so I had her on Lifeline Plus. Plus, I had her on the Intensified Growth and Development, which, as I mentioned earlier, now has that boost of Lifeline built into it, right? So I had some of the early like test batches. I actually had the very first feed off the line that contained the Intensify in it. So I got my mare going on it as soon as I possibly could. So she's been on it for a while. And then, you know, my baby's IgG levels were absolutely sky high, and he has been healthy and strong from the moment he was born. I mean, ever since. So I really do feel very strongly about the benefits of plasma and what it can do, just for the health of that mare and what she passes on to her baby and the health of that baby. I mean, there just are so many reasons to incorporate this functional supplement into the diet, right? It's one, honestly, that really every horse can benefit from, regardless of their age or their activity. And it's been evaluated at all different levels of inclusions, right? So it's not like there's just this one magic level that you have to hit. As I was scouring through all of the research, there were low level studies, there were ultra high level studies, there were, moderate level studies. There's a lot of variation, and kind of the take home message on all of that, probably the best way to put it is that, some plasma is better than no plasma, and more plasma is best when you are in very stressful situations. Okay. So if you just want that, kind of like low level daily support, I'd recommend checking out that intensified line of feeds from Bluebonnet, right? You can get them from Bluebonnet dealers. You can get it from Chewy. Like there's, as long as you live in the United States, right? You can get those feeds very easily. Lifeline is built right into those feeds at that low dose. So you don't have to mess with adding anything to the diet. Like you don't have to add extra supplements. But if you want to ratchet up that response, if you have a horse that is under, some much more demanding conditions, or if they have any of those diseases or conditions, like I mentioned in the list earlier, I would go ahead and purchase the pure Lifeline supplement, that pure plasma supplement as a standalone. And then you can dose it as much as you need or put it on whatever feed that you choose, right? So plasma is definitely a staple in my own program. I've been using Lifeline on my own horses for 5 years now. So I am super, super excited that Bluebonnet Feeds is now including it in the Intensify feed line, just so that more horses can have access to these amazing health benefits. All right, I am going to wrap this up. I will drop some links in the show notes where you can go and read a little bit more, maybe get to some of those studies that I had mentioned. And then, honestly, if you're confused about what to do with your horse, you can always reach out for a free nutrition consult with the team at Bluebonnet Feeds. And then last but certainly not least, I will put up a post for this episode on the Dr. Jimmy Facebook and Instagram channels, and we can feel free to continue that conversation there.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Feed Room Chemist. If you like what you hear, be sure to share with your friends, post to social media, or give us a review. And as Winston Churchill used to say, no hour of life is wasted that is spent in the saddle. So go saddle up.